You know the story already. Hundreds of thousands of people gathered around the stairs of the Lincoln Memorial. You know the story already. It was one of the defining moments of the American Civil Rights Movement. It was one of the defining moments of our history as a people. You know the story how Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a young minister and preacher from the South, got up behind that podium and all the microphones leaning in towards him to broadcast his words. And he delivered that speech, "I Have a Dream," a sermon, really. You've heard it 100 times if you've heard it once. "I have a dream that my 4 children might grow up in a country where they are not defined by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners would be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood. I have a dream that people all across this country might be able to sing with new meaning, 'My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of thy pilgrims' pride, from every mountain side, let freedom ring.'" You know the story. You know the sermon. You know it was one of the defining moments in this American Civil Rights Movement, a defining moment of our times. But it wasn't just one speech or just one man. It was a movement that made that speech. It was a whole movement that made that man. Thousands of people and faces and lives and work and toil and labor. It was 4 little girls. And the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing. 4 little girls in Sunday school. The bomb took off the back of the church, destroyed the steps, took down every stained glass window except for the one of Jesus leading the little children. It wasn't just one speech or just one man. It was those 4 young college students. So young and bright and strong. After praying and singing in the basement of their church, they walked 2 by 2 into that Woolworths, up to that lunch counter to order a cup of coffee. And the next day, 20 students came. And the day after that, 60 students came asking for a cup of coffee and bearing the sneers and the mocking and the spitting. It wasn't just one man or one speech. It was Rosa Parks. And I came by to tell you that she was not an old lady. She was 42 years old. She was in her prime. She wasn't tired after a long day's work. The only thing she was tired with the people around her saying, "Not yet. Not yet. You're pushing too hard, too fast. Slow down." That's what she was tired of. It wasn't just one speech or one man. It was Emmett Till. 1955, 14-year-old child on vacation with his mother from Chicago to Mississippi. They say he flirted with a white woman. And so they took him later that night. And they beat him. And they killed him. And they threw him into the river. It wasn't just one man with one dream. It was a movement. It was all those people who lost their lives, thousands of them in the lynching tree, right? In between the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement, it was them too, and not just them, it was their ancestors who were taken from their home and put in a foreign land. planting and harvesting food, not for themselves, bringing water up to the main house, tending and feeding and nursing children who were not their own. While their families were being divided and sold off, while the children at their breasts were being taken away, and the masters came and said, "Sing us a song. Sing us one of those spiritual songs." But how could they sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? You know the story, don't you, of Israel? How they were captives, how they were in exile, how they sat down by the rivers of Babylon and they wept and they hung up their harps, because how could they sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? It was there that Isaiah cleared his throat. It was there Isaiah lifted up his head and said, "Listen, coastlands, pay attention to me, you people from far away. God called me before I was even born. While I was still in my mother's womb, God named me and gave me a job to be a servant, to radiate God's glory. And then the dogs came and they were hungry for flesh. And then the fire hoses were opened up on tender skin. And there was violence on top of violence. And Isaiah got discouraged. You can't blame the man. He said, "My work has been in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing. I have failed." That's when God bent low. That's when God whispered to Isaiah, "I called you before you were even born. From the beginning of time, when you were in your mother's womb, I named you, and I have big plans for you. Not just to bring back the tribes of Israel, not just to gather together the people of Jacob. That would be too light of a thing. I have called you and claimed you to be a light for the nation. I have called you to radiate my very heart. I have called you to make tangible my salvation, my movement, my march throughout time for liberation, for freedom, for setting the captives free." It came that way for Isaiah, called before he was even born. It came that way for the people of the civil rights movement, called before they were even born. And it is so with you. As a church and as people, each one of you called before you were even born. Each one of you named in your mother's womb, Christian, Christian. Each one of you called, not just to take care of each other. That would be too small of a task. Called to radiate the glory of God, to make tangible and present God's very heart and salvation, God's movement towards liberation. Will you get discouraged? You will get discouraged. When the dogs come and the fire hoses are opened up, when the gunman opens fire at a grocery store, you will get discouraged. When you see the prison system filling up with men of color, 70%, you will get discouraged. When we finally pull out of Vietnam and go straight back into Iraq and Afghanistan, you will get discouraged. But that's when God will bend low and say, "Before you were born, inside your mother, I called you and claimed you as my servant. This is who you are as Christians, called to work and labor and march until there is no more slavery on God's good earth. This is who you are. Since the beginning of time, this is what you were called to do, to take down that lynching tree, to chop it down, to take out the roots, to plant a new tree that blooms, that has fruit full of peace, that has leaves that are for the healing of the nation. This is who you are as Christians, called to work and to labor, not in vain, but until Emmett Till rises up out of that river, takes the barbed wire off from around his neck and runs through the fields of Mississippi, making mischief like 14-year-old children are supposed to do. This is who you are. This is who you were called to be from the beginning of time. To say no to those forces who say, not yet. You're moving too fast. You're going too hard. Slow down. You say, get behind me, because justice has an urgency about it. This is who you are. From the beginning of time, called to work and to labor, until four little girls skip out of church singing the songs of Zion, playing hopscotch all the way home. You're called to pick up all those shards of glass and to reassemble those windows until God's salvation, God's march, God's movement can be seen by everyone. You know, they got discouraged in August 1963. They were discouraged. Those people who had planned that march on Washington for jobs and freedom, they woke up early in the morning to set up the risers. They woke up early in the morning to set up the stage and the podium and the sound system. They said, check one, check two, is this thing on? They were preparing. But no one came. Not one person came, and the morning got later and later and later, and they thought, is our work in vain? Have we spent our strength for nothing? Have we failed? Are they right? Did we push too hard, too fast? Are they right? Is Pharaoh still in charge? Then God bent low through a bus full of teenagers from Virginia. The bus came in and the organizers came out to greet them. Welcome, welcome, come to the rally, the March on Washington. And they said this: the highways are packed. Every highway leading to this city, it's like a parking lot. It is bus after bus after bus. Every street leading to the Lincoln Memorial, it is full of freedom riders, people dreaming and praying and singing the songs of Zion. Rosa Parks in the front, she's driving the buses. Those four little girls, all those people who were hanging in the trees, they are on the bus and they are coming. They are coming to hear about God's movement, God's march of liberation. They are coming to hear God, through the mouth of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, say, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are free at last. Friends, if you believe this, say amen.